Many pastors and priests agonize over the homily. They try to get some type of theme, some type of idea in order to contextualize the message. One time I was agonizing over the fact of I had this wonderfully great story which seemed to contextualize the message of the gospel. And I couldn't remember whether I used it like a year, year and a half ago. I just couldn't remember. So I turned to one of the staff members and I said, could you help me out? I want to use this story to begin basically the homily with, but I can't remember if I've used it about a year, year and a half ago. I said, can you remember? Person said, oh, don't worry, Father. Nobody pays attention to the homily anyway. I said, oh, that makes me feel real good. But upon reflection, you know, you think even of the great speeches that we've experienced within our society. You think about the great sense of presentation. You know, you think of the Kennedy speech or where there's inauguration, where he gave the vision of the United States. Nobody remembers the speech. They remember one phrase, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask rather what you can do for your country. They remember that one phrase. You take a look even at the great Martin Luther King during the height of all the many speeches he gave during the Civil Rights Movement. You know, and you think basically of only one little phrase. I have been to the mountain. And everything seems to contextualize within basically that phrase. Even the great Abraham Lincoln, people know of his wonderful speeches, you know, the Gettysburg Address, the addresses to Congress, his inaugural address. But the one thing people usually remember, a house divided. So really, I think it's probably within us that we grab something, we grab one little kind of aspect, one reflection, one sense, and then basically we hold on to that. We don't remember all the rest of the things, the elaboration of the 2,000, 3,000 words that were spoken. We just remember that phrase. One time in particular, as I was a priest in Chicago, there was a new archbishop that was named. Francis George was the name. That evening, what they usually do for the inauguration of basically of a new bishop was true here for myself as I became Archbishop of Milwaukee. As the evening usually is a prayer service, and many of the priests and the deacons are invited to that prayer service. And it's there that there's an opportunity for the leader of the diocese to give his vision, to offer his kind of sense of direction. Now, it was particularly difficult for Francis George because he was replacing a very popular cardinal, Cardinal Bernardine, who was well-beloved by many. And now there was this new individual coming in. And he gave a wonderful sense, literally, of the vision. He talked about being a brother. He talked about that this was, Cardinal Bernardine had used the phrase, Joseph, my brother. But he says, you know what? He says, I can't claim that. You don't know me. But you know what? We're neighbors. So I'm Francis, your neighbor. Everybody smiled at that one. At the end of his presentation, though, he said a phrase which stayed with me throughout the time I was a priest in Chicago under his leadership, became an auxiliary under his leadership, and even took it with me to La Crosse when I became Bishop of La Crosse. And that was a simple phrase. At the end of this wonderful kind of presentation, given his vision, and little is remembered about that, he said, look, it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about Christ. And that really shook to the very foundation our sense of the way we envision the world and the world around us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Christ. When I say I took that phrase with me to La Crosse, when I was named the new Bishop of La Crosse, on my inauguration, At the end, I said, what has happened is the Pope has appointed me here as your bishop. I said, realize something. I belong to you. You belong to me. But we belong to Christ. I said that because suddenly that should always be our priority. It's Jesus who is our priority. It's Christ who is before us, in front of us, always our priority. When we're taking a look at the gospel today, there's a few things that we should basically understand about the gospel. First of all, you know, there is a reflection on the continuation of the authority given to individuals who are sent out. And that authority is seen in relationship to the Old Testament. There are 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel. Now the 72 are sent out that are reminiscent of Moses, who selects 72 individuals to help immediately administer his judgment and his direction. So here it is, that not uncommon for the leader, Jesus, to take those individuals and send them out to proclaim his message, to allow individuals to come into the sense of the proclamation of the kingdom, which is now seen in its fullness through Jesus Christ. We kind of are easy to kind of take that and shove that mission and that direction on the 72. We become complacent, if you want, in our Christianity and Catholicism today. Our current Pope, Pope Francis, reminds us of that. He says immediately, he said, we've lost the missionary spirit. Now, you might think immediately, missionary spirit, I mean, we should kind of man the boats and get on the planes and go to the far corners of the globe to proclaim Jesus Christ. And certainly that is a part of it. But when he's saying we've lost that missionary spirit, it's the missionary spirit within us to understand the mission that's given to us to proclaim Jesus Christ to our neighbors, to our friends, to be witnesses of his presence. When I became Archbishop of Milwaukee, I said I had three priorities: Catholic identity, evangelization, and stewardship. Catholic identity is who we are, evangelization is what we do, and stewardship is how we do it. But evangelization, and it's understanding that there is a need to evangelize those who have never heard of Jesus Christ. But to understand also, there's an evangelization right here and now within our communities of those who have abandoned their baptismal promises, those who have abandoned basically the church. It's well known among many that the largest denomination in the United States is Catholicism. And the second largest denomination are fallen away Catholics. Well, we've got a task. We can't stand back here and say, oh, okay, father, sister, brother, go out there and evangelize. No, we're the ones. We're the ones who have to take up the banner of the 72. We're the ones who have to go out and to basically evangelize. And how do we do it? We do it by the simple tasks of understanding of being Christian to others, of the kindness that we demonstrate, of the ability to be able to see Christ in and through us. Think about your own lives. Think about your lives and certain times when you experience someone being Christ to you, bringing the Lord Jesus Christ to you. It could have been at a time of loss, when someone was there with their arm around you or holding your hand or engaging in the grief with you and letting you know of that great comfort and that great sense that you're not alone, that this person representing Christ is with you and Christ is with you. Think about those times when individuals reached out to others when suddenly you didn't know which way you're going and offered those wonderful words of wisdom, whatever they are, either to make a decision in your life or to choose to take a particular position. If you're people of faith, you understand that that's Christ using others as instruments to pull you in. And think about the aspect that it's that very same Christ that challenges us to reach out and to use our very beings to be instruments of him in the world. Pope Francis, that's why Pope Francis brings us those corporal and spiritual works of mercy, to remind us that we have an obligation and a sense to use those corporal and spiritual works of mercy to pull people into the church, to proclaim the kingdom through our faith. Oh yes, I say immediately, what profit a person if they gain the whole world but lose their soul? But in Christianity, it's not only gaining your soul, it's gaining your soul by being Christ in the world and calling others to that same salvation. We march as a church hand in hand towards Jesus Christ. We embrace the cross together so that in and through the cross, others may come to know that love of Jesus. Others may come to know that love of Jesus. And that love is transformative. It changes us. When we talk in terms of evangelizations, we're talking in terms of evangelizing those who've never known Christ, those who have fallen away from their baptismal vows, but also the continual conversion in our own lives. Never forgetting whose love has saved us. Look, if you don't think you need to be saved, then you don't understand the cross. If you don't understand that we are people who sin, who are not perfect, who have to kneel before our Almighty God in begging for mercy, then we don't understand the cross and the great love that Jesus has bestowed upon us coming into this world. We've lost that priority of Christ. He just becomes a function that occupies our Sundays, or maybe occasionally a prayer during the week. Christ is not an occasional prayer during the week. Christ is just not a function on Sunday. He is our life. He is our life, and he gives us life. Don't, as the gospel says, rejoice in the fact that you can lord over others, that you have any type of power extended by your faith. Rejoice rather that your names are inscribed in heaven, that that's your ultimate goal through the holiness of the way you live your lives. Because remember, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.